He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I'm not saying that it doesn't. I just think it's a factor, and I don't want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, business is a factor in every decision, yeah. Right? Money is a factor in every decision, no matter what it is. So I'm sure this has some play. I'd be surprised if that impacts any type of talent trade. I'm sure there is some, you know, connection to Rui in terms of, you know, what, you know, the Japanese kind of market, but I'd be surprised if that really lends towards impacts any trade. And look, he's one of the few guys that actually played well in the playoffs, had shot very well. I would still like to go
too.
Yeah, I just wrote about him for Silver Screen Roll in terms of like him as a small ball five, Anthony. And Rui, even he's one of the few, like Rui's not going to complain, but you go and listen to his final presser and he's like, they had me playing small ball five all year and it was rough. But, you know, and so like I would love to see him next to, you know, rotational big man. But I'd be shocked if that really impacts any type of trade scenario. I don't put him in the same tier as Austin, and I doubt the Lakers do as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's in the same tier, but I think that there's pushback there where he's held higher and higher regard than I think Twitter kind of realizes. The other part of this too, Raj, is with Rui specifically, he plays essentially, or he defends essentially the same position that Luka does, that Dorian does, that LeBron does.
Yeah.
And, so long as that remains the case, because Dorian is in charge of his own future with the Lakers, he has that player option. LeBron, same thing. He has a player option and a no trade clause. So those two guys aren't going anywhere. You obviously aren't trading Luka. So if you enter another season with, you have LeBron making, what is it? It's going to be around 55 or so, 57 maybe. You'll have Luka in that same range as well. You'll have Rui in that 18 to 20 range. You'll have Dorian probably in that 17 or so range. I'm not the best at math, Raj, but having 80% of your cap devoted to the same position isn't wise.
Sure. There needs to be some balance there. They need to kind of fill him out for an athletic wing, or Dorian out for an athletic wing, or whatever it is. There needs to be some balance there. But again, like getting even return or trade return, you've mentioned it before as well. I think the Lakers have, what, one first round pick to play with this summer to attach to salaries. They have some swaps as well in the 55th pick, but getting even return is difficult. It just, obviously that's Rob Pelinka's whole job, but again, that's why I could see a world where Rui's on the team, you know, come September, October. But I'm sure he's the first one that they float in all these deals, him along with all the salary that can get filled in. I didn't realize Vando signed to like 2028 or 9 or something. I was not aware of that. It was locked of a contract.
You should have seen. I remember specifically looking this up.
Yeah.
Because I was just kind of on the trade machine, or I was like, it was while the Lakers were playing in the playoffs. And I was just kind of looking at their books and stuff, because it looked like, you know, we're going to have to start having these conversations here soon.
Yeah.
And I was looking at their books, and I went on SpoTrack, where you have the option to see like the Lakers books 5 years in advance, you know, for the next 5 years. And I saw that Vando was on their books for three of the next 5 years.
So insane.
And I was like on my laptop and I was like, what the fuck? And Jen's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, Vando!
I think he has like a player option at the end of that. It's just it's insane.
It's the worst contract in the sport, damn near. And we still don't know what he's good at on offense. But I saw that you wrote about Vando for yes. Silver Screen, and some of the stats on there were just mind numbing. And I don't know which
20% in the paint.
Is an uglier stat, his contract or his shooting percentage. I can't figure it out.
20% shooting in the paint. Like, obviously that's not, and he shot 60% on layups and dunks. It's just unreal. The season he had, for that piece, I was going back, Anthony. It's crazy how quickly we've gotten past this, because one of the games he played was the Denver game, which was on the road. That was like Luka's coming out party, right? Kind of his first real game. And like a few months later, we are already way past the honeymoon era has kind of, from what I kind of can feel online in terms of the conversation around the Lakers. The Luka honeymoon ended pretty quickly. I don't know if that's how actual honeymoons, like, do they end that quickly, or like, I don't know how long they actually last, but.
Well, no, like, well, mine was different because Jen and I had been together for so long, but, no, like, it's funny. You have actual post-wedding honeymoons.
Right. Where you go on a trip or something.
Yeah. Like we have all that. And
yeah,
that does end pretty abruptly. It's, you know, you have the high of the wedding.
Right.
And then you go to some tropical place, probably, or some beautiful place.
Yeah.
And it is just you and your significant other, and, you know, nobody else matters.
Right.
You eat all the best food. You drink all the best drink. You sleep whenever you want to sleep. You do whatever, whenever. And then you come back to the real world, and you're like, like the first time you walked into the house, you're like, all right, this is real now.
Right.
You know, like, there's, if we break up, paperwork has to be involved, you know? So like in that sense, honeymoons do end rather abruptly, but like you also have, what's called honeymoon periods. And I think that's kind of more what you're talking about here, where a couple just gets together and there are no warts. It's not that you don't even see them. It's that they aren't even there. Like, it doesn't matter, whatever red flags. Sure. Yeah. He showed up to pick me up from our first date with a Domino sign on top of his car. Totally normal at 45 years old. But like, and then eventually like those, you do start to notice the warts, and you do start to see. So that does happen a little bit more gradually. So long as the red flags aren't too red. But the actual post-wedding honeymoon, that does end very quickly, because it is a rude awakening when you get home and you're like, all right, oh, I don't remember you snoring in Bora Bora. That's weird.
You know? Right. Well, and relating this to the Lakers, I was going back and watching the Denver game. I was like, was Luka this big, like, when I was watching him, you know, during that time? Was he like this? Was he moving like this? And you go watch him, like, I implore fans to go watch him in February. Like, the way he was running was like a guy who should not be on a basketball court. But, you know, you just got Luka Doncic, the honeymoon period was fresh and new. But that is an interesting kind of phenomenon to me, Anthony, is how quickly that has moved to, all right, we got to win tomorrow. Like, tomorrow the roster has to be championship level, versus 3 months ago it was, well, now the Lakers have a 10-year, you know, wide road to run on. So I just find
But he has an extension that he has to sign, you know, and if he doesn't sign that extension, Raj, and we're talking about a year's worth of, could Luka hit the open market? Report Team X clearing their books for Luka Doncic in 2026, or whenever he would be available. There's a reason that the Lakers at least were able to negotiate the trade that they had, and part of the reason there was that LeBron or Rob told Nico Harrison, we can't talk with this guy right now about his long-term interest in us. Now, to be absolutely clear, the sense that you gather is that Luka is in it for the long haul with the Lakers, but that's one of those things you don't want to take for granted, right?
Absolutely.
Like, if I park in San Francisco on one of those really, really steep hills, And I put my car in park. Chances are that that being in park, being in that gear is more than enough for a car on that hill. But anybody smart will turn their wheel to the right and they'll put the parking brake on and they'll do everything to make sure that their car stays where they actually want it to stay. Cause if it doesn't, you're looking at a disaster. Actually, I think that's another great point to hit on really quickly here is this notion of Luca's extension and proving to him that you are willing to do whatever it takes to win a championship. And I'm not saying that Luca would walk. He likes playing with Austin by all accounts, publicly and privately. Mm-hmm. He likes playing with Rui by all accounts, publicly and privately. He liked playing with LeBron publicly and privately. And he liked playing for JJ publicly and privately. So like all of that, like I'm not here to, you know, worry everybody about what actually might be going on here. But if the Lakers basically go to him and say, all right, we're trying to do everything that we can to build around you, but we really, really, really like Austin, man. You know, like, yeah, sure, we could get you center X, but we really like Rui. He does the LA thing. Like, he does, have you seen the pictures? It always, our social media pops off every time Rui goes with one of these, every single time. Can we, you know, are you okay playing with him as a small ball five instead? Is that something you're interested in? Like, they can't do that. They can't realistically do that, and they don't intend to.
No, and they didn't do that, right? Right when the Luka trade happened, what did they do? They went out and traded all the assets that they were hoarding for Mark Williams, which obviously didn't work out. But I think that showed a tone and a tenor of aggressiveness that I think that they'll show this, at least I think somewhat show this summer. I'm sure that package will come up and be placed for other centers around the league. So I think there's a middle ground here in terms of, obviously, you do have to look for trades, and I've been so clear on that. I just don't think there's an Austin one that makes a lot of sense, but I do think there's a lot of Rui ones that make sense. But I think there is a level of intentionality that you need when trading Rui. There has to be talent back, right? Rui is a starter. Like, he's a very good player. He's not a perfect player. He has his warts. He has his faults, but. Again, going back and watching him play, Anthony, like, this is a guy I think that in the right situation would be very helpful. The Lakers play him, like you said, he plays the same position as a bunch of other forwards on our team, and he has a defensive role that I don't think is suited for him. Another thing that stood out going back and rewatching all the Minnesota tape was how much, like, you remember things differently when you watching it without emotion, right? So it felt like Anthony Edwards was picking on Rui Hachimura in terms of like picking on him on switches. Mm-hmm. What was really going on was Rui Hachimura was his assigned offensive player.
Yeah.
So we were putting Rui on Anthony Edwards.
Did ask a lot of Rui, to your point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm watching Anthony Edwards bring the ball up against Rui Hachimura ball pressure in like quotes, because Rui can't really move his feet with Anthony Edwards. That's 6'9", 230. I don't really blame him. But again, I think a lot of these guys were in outsized roles. They were also playing heavy doses of minutes. I'm watching Tom Thibodeau not play Jalen Brunson, give Jalen Brunson breaks in a game four, you know, where they're down 2-1, and just to show kind of how extreme that we let it get to. But I think there's a Rui trade that exists out there that makes a lot of sense. Do you trust the front office to get that trade right? I think that's a,
well, if we don't, then we shouldn't have that front office.
that's very fair.
It's kind of like the guardrails that they've placed on Nico Harrison in Dallas, where it's like, we have told him you are not allowed to trade the first round pick.
Right,
you
right.
You are not allowed to trade the pick that can get his Cooper flag.
Right.
And like, if I was Nico, I'm like, wait, hold on. There's stuff I can't do. You know, and that's kind of saying everything that you need to say about Nico, right? And so like we're saying, like, yeah. Actually, I don't want to see Rui traded because we don't trust the front office to make that trade. Well, then you need a better front office, you know?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, no, most definitely. And like Rob's hit on a few, like, again, if it, like, he's obviously got the Luka deal, which is the most important one, right? We as NBA Twitter, we love to kind of hone in on the really interesting, they traded for cash considerations. Oh my God, how they do that type of deals. But the getting the superstar is the most important one. The DFS for D'Angelo Russell, that was a very good trade as well that they just completed. So there's some really good trades, you know, that have gone down recently. But yeah, this is a big summer, and it was smart. I don't know who decided this, Anthony, that put these superstar max extensions after free agency. That's absolutely genius. That is so smart.
Yeah,
it's absolutely perfect. Luka's doesn't have to sign it until August, so he gets to just watch, you know, on Rob the side. Cook. Yes, right.
Yeah,
just watching him in the kitchen. Like, oh, what type of oil are you using? Like, oh, like sitting in the kitchen watching him. Yeah.
Have you ever eaten at somebody's house you didn't quite trust their cooking?
I'm actually good on that. No, I'm good. I'll, you know, just give me the bread.
Some salad. Bread.
You can keep the meat. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my my little brother took a real interest in cooking when he graduated high school, going into what would have been college. He wound up not going to college. And he initially started out, he wanted to be a chef. And he would always be like, all right, I got dinner. I'm on dinner tonight. I got this to everybody. I found this new recipe. And he loved himself some garlic.
Okay.
So like, I would come home occasionally, and Jen and I would walk into the house, and it would just be like, whoa, that's a lot of garlic. And Jen loves garlic. And even she is like, Andrew, are you sure? You know, not being super nice about it, trying to be supportive of this, like, you know, potential career path that he thought he might go on. And you're like, take a PB&J. but
some toasted bread. Yeah. Can't screw that up.
Take some cereal. You don't add garlic to cereal, right? So anyway, last thing before we hop out of here, this off season obviously has a ton riding on it, with the backdrop being Luka and you know, the potential final opportunity for LeBron to vie for a championship. You know, obviously that's lower on fans' priorities than it was going into last season, but still it's a thing. And there's word now that, you know, according to Shams and according to, I believe Jovan also reported this too, that LeBron is expected to opt into his contract.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still holding out just a little bit of hope there that, you know, maybe he doesn't and he takes a bit of a haircut, depending on how close the Lakers can get. Cause it, whenever they make a trade, they have to take back less than they send out. Or else they're hard capped at the first apron. And so if the Lakers send out enough less and maybe do have an opportunity to use their full mid-level exception, that, you know, maybe, just maybe, LeBron takes like a, you know, a haircut here and there. I'm not saying a big one. Those people who thought he was going to take a, whatever it was going to be, a 9 or a 10 figure pay cut, that's not happening. You just got all NBA second team, he shouldn't take one. But you know, maybe, just maybe, but regardless, if he does, and then if the Lakers remain hesitant on the kind of offseason that they can have, or remain hesitant on moving their core, and considering their core, LeBron, Luka, Austin, Rui, there are not a ton of levers that they can pull here. So if all of that plays out that way, what would you consider a realistic and still productive offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect LeBron to opt into his deal.
I think they have to operate that way.
Yeah, so I think what's interesting to me, Anthony, is how do you, I guess, operate without knowing if it's LeBron's last year or not? Like, to me, that changes a lot of the calculation, right? If if this is LeBron's last year, then that probably changes a couple of the moves you're making.
I wrote about this with Rui Raj. They could go from an abundance of fours to now your four rotation is Luka right. and an old Dorian Finney-Smith.
Exactly, right? And I think that's why also they're kind of hugging on to Rui as well, because they don't know is this LeBron's last year or not. And if you lose him as a forward, it kind of hurts you in other areas. So I think that's number one. Number two, I think this team had clear holes. And like to me, when you're watching the playoffs and you're watching these other teams, I think it's really clear they needed a big man and they need one more defensive athletic player, whether that comes from the guard, from the wing, wherever it is. They need a player that can ball pressure, that can just give other teams issues on the defensive end. I think Gabe Vincent played this role for us this year, but he's just too small to be impactful in that way. Jordan Goodwin, that's why he earned the minutes he did, because he's kind of in that tier of player, but you want a player that's better than that. Nikhil Alexander Walker is like the pipe dream, but again, to your point, LeBron's not I think he would have to take like $15 million less, Anthony, for them to open up the full MLE, which LeBron's
that's where it would take you know, sending out considerably right. more money for it to even become a conversation, right? Like right. That has to happen first, or there would have to be a path to doing that first before LeBron makes it.
Yeah. And again, I just don't see LeBron forking up that much. Like, he may give up a little bit to open up the taxpayer mid-level, which is like $5 million. So you can kind of look at the tier of players that gets you into. But I think the hope is that you have a couple of ring chasers that come over. You have, you hit on some of your minimum signings.
You have to do some work if you're going to get ring chasers. Sure.
Like,
you're not winning a ring.
Well, I'm saying if you have Luka, LeBron, and you know, you get a few more pieces that make sense, then you can kind of get into the ring chaser calculation. Obviously, OKC would lead that, but there's moves to be made. Anthony, the Lakers played five guys in the playoffs.
Yeah,
which means like that's what,
if you trade eight? One of them.
Yeah. Well, no, what I was saying is like you have eight guys that you fully feel are, you know, you can easily move without any question, that your coach had zero trust in. You wrote about Jackson Hayes likely not returning because
I don't know why that was. I think it's because it's May 28th.
Sure.
As to why that's been such big news and my mentions have been such a tire fire the last, you know, 24 hours. But
I think it's also that, like,
surprised.
Not surprised, but if you look at the landscape, like getting a big that's better than Jackson Hayes on the minimum for an 82 game grind.
But you have to ask, like, will Jackson want to go from starting last year to being the third string this year? And again, the Lakers didn't cut him after that video came out, but it's a pretty tough sell to people to be like, yeah, we saw the video. Now we want to bring him back for more, when you're talking about a third string center. Like, I don't see it. I'd be pretty disappointed if they did.
For sure. Yeah, you're right. He's most likely gone, but I think that's why the kind of conversation was what it was online. But you're starting from zero in terms of big man. So you got to go out and fill a big man rotation this summer while also getting a rotation that makes sense of 7-8 guys. There's a lot of work to do, but my point with that was we have a lot of players that, like, you obviously feel aren't too important to your team because they did not play
at all.
So that's where you can kind of flip the roster and hopefully bring in a bunch of guys along with the core to bring it back around that you can build on for next season.
Yeah. Yeah. The issue there is that if you're just trading guys for the contract, then you have to attach stuff to them. Whereas
yeah.
if you trade an actual good NBA player, you may not have to attach, because, and look, this is part of the internal debate. Is it worth moving Rui, or would you rather move the first rounder? Would you rather hold on to the first rounder so that eventually you can package it with other first rounders that become more available over the next few years for whatever second best player that you want to play with Luka? And look, I know Lakers fans would be pretty disappointed in it, and a good part of me would be pretty disappointed in it too. But if the Lakers basically did the math and said, you know what, we're going to run a version of this team back, we'll trade expirings and, you know, maybe Dalton for, and maybe a pick swap or something like that for a better starting center will, you know, do what we can to improve the athleticism on the roster as well. You use that taxpayer mid level on the mini mid level on another center there to add more depth, and we'll just kind of see what this team looks like with organic improvement and a couple improvements elsewhere on the roster, and keep the powder dry just in case this is LeBron's final season and you now all of a sudden have to go out and get Luka's second best player. If that's communicated well, and if that's something Luka fully understands, and that is an actual plan that the Lakers have here moving forward, not like the kick the can down the road plan that they had with LeBron and Anthony Davis, then, you know, I think there's a world in which I would accept that as an outcome to this offseason. But if the explanation for trading or for not trading Austin or Rui was like, well, we couldn't get an all-NBA player for those guys, I don't know, man. Like, neither of those guys are going to be all-NBA players. And even if we're talking about Austin as a potential all-star, he's probably a one-time all-star. I think Nazir Muhammad made a one-time all-star. There are some centers back in the day that made one all-star game that are just hilarious. And if Austin joins that unceremonious club of one-time all-stars, and the reason that the Lakers didn't trade him is because they wanted a multi-time all-star back, it's like, I don't know. And now all of a sudden he's on the books. There just has to be a plan, Raj. Like, that's all. Sure. I keep on coming back. I talked to Pete about it. I talked to Trevor about it. We've talked about this in the past. I want to see Rob Pelinka's actual vision for a basketball team here. Not whatever moves he has to make to appease whoever is in charge of keeping him employed. I want to see an actual plan from the president of basketball operations and general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers to just be like, all right, this is what I believe in. This is how I think you build around Luka Doncic. This is the kind of player, if we are, you know, fully banking on Luka and Austin and maybe even Rui moving forward, fine. This is what it takes to surround those guys, build a roster around that core to build. But it can't just be this like, ho-hum, we'll see.
And a member of the core that we haven't talked about at all this show is JJ Redick, right? He's part of this. Yeah. He's not a player, but I think he's inserted into the core of the principles that this team will go forward on. And that's why I think, obviously, the Lakers showed their cards a little bit on this move, but I think the Mark Williams kind of move was so enlightening because it kind of told you what they were looking for, right? Young center, athletic, biggest wingspan, you know, in the league, over Wembanyama even, lob threat for Luka Doncic, and young on a rookie scale contract, I believe, he's still, mm-hmm. like when you traded for him. So I think that's what they're looking for, a center that Luka can build with instead of just going and getting a center that's already making $30 million or whatever it is, and you're unsure on the fit. And like, just my prediction, I think Luka, Austin, LeBron are probably the three guys that they look at and go, all right, this is who we're kind of leaning on, and let's build a team for next season with LeBron that can work on those guys' strengths. And then at the deadline, reassess what the team looks like. Get a full training camp in with JJ and this new core of players and see what it is from there. But that's, to me, the plan. Like, that's what I would predict the plan is. Obviously, you know, things can change, trades can come up, stars can request out, and that changes kind of the plan as well. But that's how I would kind of see it playing out this season. And like, JJ is going to have a full off season with Rob. I think he got signed right before or right after free agency. Yeah, I can't remember last season, but He has a full summer now with Rob to kind of go through players, and I like that guy, don't like that guy, I would never play that guy, stuff like that, that you kind of have conversations with. And hopefully Luka's in the room or on Zoom during those calls, and you know, you can have like everybody rowing in the same direction.
We'll see what this looks like. As always, Raj, over the course of the show, You seem to feel worse.
Man, I've been battling a flu that. So it's funny. This always hits me like right before like end of June that like I go to Vegas a bunch in July, summer league and other things. But so this, I'm kind of happy that it hits like here. Now. So now I'll have, yeah. So just that yearly flu that hits. But yeah, I was kind of dying in the middle of there a little bit. I was like coughing.
I look over you like,
yeah.
All right. I'll talk a little longer. But no, thank you very much, Raj, for hopping on. As always, really fun. Check out his work on silverscreenroll.com. He's written some really good stuff so far this offseason. Some depressing stuff when he talked about Vando, but still good none the same, or all the same. And let's see, tomorrow is Thursday. Yeah, so tomorrow the plan is for Harrison and I to have probably some version of this same conversation too. And then Pete and I will be on, I believe, on Friday. So check out hit that subscribe button to make sure you don't miss any of that stuff. Keep an eye out or an ear out on the RSS feed for the lowdown tonight. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Chapalu. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you whenever I talk to you.